Join me in the scripture reading from Old Testament Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. From the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A little old lady sold pretzels on a street corner for 50 cents each. And every day, a young lawyer would... See, I'm making up for my lawyer story last week. Thank you. Okay. Every day, a young lawyer would exit his office building at lunch, and as he passed her pretzel stand, he'd leave two quarters. However, he never took a pretzel. And this went on for nearly 5 years. And even though they never spoke, every day he'd leave 50 cents. They'd make eye contact, and she would nod her gratitude as he walked away without a pretzel. And finally, one day, as the lawyer passed her stand and laid down his two quarters, the pretzel woman spoke to him, "Sir, I appreciate your business. You are my best customer, but you need to know something. The price of pretzels has gone up to 75 cents. Now, I'm going to ask you a question and give you some time to think about it. What do you take with you when you may never come back? That was the question posed to residents of Greenville, California, in July of 2021, hours before the Dixie Fire, the most expensive wildfire in American history in terms of firefighting costs. Not much in Greenville was green after the fire. It really just totally destroyed the place. And when the evacuation order came, the locals had just a few hours to decide what to take with them as they fled for their lives. And someone did surveys afterwards and interviewed people to see what they took. And pets were at the top of the list, as were family photographs. Important papers, such as birth certificates and marriage licenses and passports. A young artist took his sketchbooks full of designs. A 10-year-old girl rounded up the family cat and then packed her guitar, a few books, a Polaroid camera, and a photo album with pictures of her friends' birthday parties. And she also brought her Pokemon card collection. Others brought family heirlooms or antiques that were important emotionally. Several brought the ashes of loved ones or pets. Teresa Hatch, who was 61, carried out her Jack Russell Terrier, a few bags of clothes, her mother's ashes, and a rosary she wears around her neck. And she said, just talking to God makes it a little bit easier to forget about the fear, the what if, where are you going to go, what are you going to do? God told me that I'd be fine, just give it time. Mary Smith, age 69, carried out her family photos. I can't replace any of these, she explained. Anything else around the house, I can replace that. So what would you take if you had only a couple of hours to decide and you knew that you wouldn't be coming back? What would you take? I'm curious. This is the interactive time. What would you take? Pictures. In planning for this, I realized I need to take all of my photos and put them on a thumb drive. But what else? Things of your mom's. Come on. Important papers. The dog. Okay. Oh, books and family Bibles. There's a good one. Well, I decided in doing this that, of course, I would grab Scarlett and all of her stuff, photo albums, my quilts, and a few items that belong to my mother and grandmother that have a great sentimental value to me. Well, disasters have a way of sharply focusing our priorities in life. And in our passage this morning from Ephesians, we are told to give thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the surface of that, you might think that's kind of a boring verse. I mean, of course we are to give thanks to God. I mean, isn't that what every Christian is supposed to do? But wait a minute. There's more to it than just giving thanks. The apostle goes on to add, at all times and for everything. I think I would have difficulty giving thanks for mosquitoes, but are we really supposed to give thanks constantly? More than that, how are we ever going to give thanks for everything? I mean, surely the author of this letter is engaging in a little sanctified exaggeration, maybe a little holy hyperbole. Not a chance. The apostle is setting the bar pretty high. But that doesn't mean that because it's difficult, we need to give up trying. Giving thanks at all times and for everything is a very lofty goal. But you know what? It means that first of all, we have to stop doing some things, like complaining. It's hard to complain when you're feeling grateful, isn't it? Complaining is an odd thing. In a backhanded way, it makes us feel good. You know, misery loves company. Okay, maybe we'd prefer it if that huge problem would just go away. But if it shows no signs of doing that, we'll settle for second best. We'll milk it for all it's worth. It gives us a steady supply of griping. And we can pull those out and use them like fingernails scratched on a chalkboard to make others pay attention to us. And we all know chronic complainers, folks who scarcely ever have a good word to say about anything, and a whole lot of negative things to say about everything. And I mean, they can be a real drag. I had a moment yesterday driving back from Paducah, and I went through a drive-thru to grab a sandwich and a drink so I could keep on the road. And as I pulled up to the window to get my food, there was an older woman in front of the counter just screaming at the manager who was working with her. "I've been waiting 30 minutes for my food, you know, and this is ridiculous." And he was trying to explain to her they were very busy, they were shorthanded, they were doing the best they could. Continued to complain, I've been waiting 30 minutes. So he pulled the register tape of her order up and showed her what time the order was entered and then what time it was now, and she'd been waiting 12 minutes. Didn't stop her, though. She had to complain. Complaining is the polar opposite of giving thanks. I mean, sure, there are times in life when complaints are in order. But when complaining becomes a constant habit, the only thing it can accomplish is to drag us down and very often take others with us. And the antidote to that emotional spiral of doom is thanksgiving. To seek at all times, on rainy days and sunny, to find something for which to offer thanks. And that begins to approach what this verse means by giving thanks at all times. I will confess to you, I mean, this is, I have been for years cultivating a spirit of thanks within me. I give thanks for everything, even a good parking spot. I mean, I get one close to the door, I pull in there, and I am not exaggerating. I say, "Thank you, God." Now, do I think God made that parking space happen for me? No. But I'm so glad that of where it was, all my thanks goes to God. So it just happens. No good theology behind it. It's just a spirit. Well, the apostle also advises us to give thanks for everything. And here's where it gets a little sticky. You know, it's one thing to thank God for a promotion at work. It's quite a different one to offer thanks for a pink slip. It's one thing to thank God for a family member who's helpful and cooperative and a joy to be around. It's quite another to offer thanks for the member of the family who's nothing but a trial to everyone. There are circumstances when thanksgivings don't come easy, when the act of saying thank you, Lord, is the spiritual equivalent of hard labor. And yet that's exactly what this morning's text instructs us to do: give thanks for everything. And you may wonder, isn't there something unnatural about trying to make ourselves feel thankful? Well, here's a little secret. You don't necessarily need to feel thankful right at that moment to offer thanks. I mean, think about what it is when your child has done something just really, really naughty, has disobeyed you, and really deserves to be punished. And amid the punishment, the child turns to you with the tear-stained puppy eyes and asks, "Mommy, Daddy, do you love me?" Pull your heart out of your chest, throw it on the floor, and stomp on it. Well, maybe, though, at that moment, you don't feel a whole lot of love for your child. Maybe there's part of you that can imagine nothing beyond doling out terrible retribution to that little offender, even though you would never do that. So what should a parent say in response to that question? And that's a very simple answer. You respond by saying, "I do love you." And you might not feel it right then, but you know on an intellectual level that you do love your child very deeply. And so you don't respond out of the immediate emotion of the moment. You offer the only answer you can give. You know I love you. What's the same with Thanksgiving? It's awfully hard to give thanks to God for the troubling medical test result that your doctor just told you about. But it can be done, even though it seems like a spiritual stretch. It's a matter of good theology, really, what we believe about God when the going gets tough. In all seriousness, though, even suffering can, on some occasions, have a positive aspect. I mean, it may sound like, you know, Pollyanna to say that every cloud has a silver lining. But there is some truth to that. I shared the story yesterday. I spent a couple of days with my high school best friend. We met up in Paducah. And my daughter Noah has MS. And we caught it very early, at a much younger age than most people are diagnosed with MS. And I was telling her the story. She was spending the night with a friend, and I got a phone call the next morning. Mom, I can't see out of one of my eyes. And I went, what? Actually, inside I'm going, ah, what? And she goes, I can't see out of one of my eyes. I said, okay, come home. I'm going to find an ophthalmologist. We're going to get you in. We got in right away, and she did a scan. The eye was fine. The sight came back. Side note, I think there was some alcohol involved. They decided it would be a good idea to have a lightsaber duel. And her friend hit her in the eye, which is what caused the temporary blindness. But the scan showed the eye was okay, but it also caught enough of her brain to see the lesions that are MS. Devastated, just devastated. And yet how thankful in the years since we have been so grateful that she had a lightsaber duel and caused us to go to the doctor for that. And we thank God every day for Ocrevus. But that's another part of the story. Sorry, I'm going to tear up here. In the meantime, consider offering this honest prayer or something like it. Lord, I don't know what you're doing with this situation, but give me the faith to thank you for it anyway. And surely that fits with the definition of giving thanks for everything and at all times. May all of us develop hearts, grateful hearts, that automatically give thanks to God always and for everything. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.